because he had married the wrong person due to Laban's deception. Now, Pastor Greg has already mentioned he was already 80-some years old, and he waited 7 years. And now, lo and behold, he married the wrong person because of Laban's deception. He ended up with a lady that he didn't want to marry in the first place. So basically, Laban should be blamed. Even though he was a close relative to Jacob, he should be blamed. It was pretty bad because Jacob married the wrong person. If we only focus on Laban's fault, yeah, he did much wrong. But if we only focus on his wrongdoing, his fault, it's basically no different than watching a 3D movie without 3D glasses. Now, seeing things from one perspective can be very different from what we can understand if we look from a different view. For example, if we look at the life of Jacob from only one perspective, we may miss out on getting a better understanding that another view can present. But if we look at Genesis 30, we're going to read this chapter together. If we look at Genesis 30 from the perspective of God's sovereignty, then we might realize that what God said in Romans 8:28, all things work together. God causes all things to work together for good. We realize that what this verse says is so true if we look at Genesis 30 from the perspective of God's sovereignty. Now, with that in mind, let us read chapter 30, verses 1 to 24. I understand it's kind of long, but let's do this together. Let us read this in unison. Genesis 30, verses 1 to 24. Genesis 30, verses 1 to 24. Now when Rachel, let's do this together, shall we? Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel and said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" She said, "Is my maid Bilhah. Go in to her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children." So she gave him her maid, Bilhah, as a wife, and Jacob went in to her. Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me and has indeed heard my voice and has given me a son." Therefore she named him Dan. Rachel's maid, Bilhah, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. So Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have indeed prevailed." And she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "How fortunate!" So she named him Gad. Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "Happy am I, for women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. Now in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field, one kind of plant fruit in Middle East, and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "It is a small matter for you to take my husband, and would you take my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore, he may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came in from the field in the evening, then Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. God gave heed to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Verse 18. Then Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I have my maid to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son to Jacob. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. She named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord give me another son. What a baby war. Here we have a complete list of Jacob's children from four women. Rachel, Rachel's maidservant, Bilhah, some pronounce Beulah, Leah, and Leah's maidservant, Zilpah. Jacob only wanted to marry Rachel, but now because of Laban's deception, Jacob had two wives, Rachel and Leah, and later he takes two concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah. As a result, this family became a rather complicated family. Jacob's family became a very complicated family, and a baby war is begun. From a human standpoint, Laban should have been blamed because he was the one who caused the problem. However, if we look at the sons born by Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah, we can see how our sovereign Lord accomplished a higher purpose in situations that humans see as problems. Now let me draw your attention to a few specific examples. Basically, when you look at the whole story, this so-called difficult situation for Jacob, marry a wrong lady, and then ended up with a complicated family, two wives and two concubines, and so forth. Just a mess. But if we were to look at it from a different angle, if we were to put a set of glasses and look at it from a different point of view, we realize it's like what it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things, not just some, but all things to work together for good. And here are some examples. Now, if you look at the list here, yeah, initially, Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. 7 years wait, no big deal, because, you know, he loved her so much, and he didn't mind to wait for 7 years. And now, after, you know, the wedding, and the next day, next morning, he realized, you know, the person he married was not Rachel. And then the rest of the story are pretty straightforward. If you look at Leah, the children she gave birth to, if you look at these children, you understand under God's sovereignty, God wonderfully caused all things work together for good. First, look at Reuben. If Jacob did not marry Leah, Reuben would not have been born. If Reuben had not been born, the Israelites would not have survived during the great famine when Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. Remember the story? If Joseph was not the prime minister at the time, Egypt would not have extra food to give to the Israelites during the severe famine, and the entire nation could have died of hunger. But God wonderfully prepared ways in advance. He already prepared provision ways in advance through Joseph. But remember, Joseph's brothers were pretty bad. Evil-minded. They wanted to kill Joseph. But then this is the verse we read about Reuben in Genesis 37. When they saw him, the brothers of Joseph saw Joseph from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him, Joseph, and throw him into one of the pits. And we will say, a wild beast devour him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams. Notice. But Reuben heard this and rescued him, Joseph, out of their hands and said. It was Reuben who gave the rest of the brothers his suggestion in order to save the life of Joseph. Yeah, Jacob married a wrong lady, Leah. And then Leah gave birth to Reuben. But if Reuben had not been born, Joseph's life would not be preserved. Second, Judah. Leah's another son was Judah. If Judah had not been born, then there would have been a problem with Bible prophecy, because God had already predicted in the Old Testament that the Messiah would come to this world through the family line of Judah. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 is very clear. The record of genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Judah. Yeah, Jacob married a wrong person. And then Leah, this wrong person, gave birth to Judah. But out of God's sovereignty, God allowed this because He is still on the throne. He is in control. And therefore, this Messiah could come through the family line of Judah. How about Levi? If Levi had not been born, the Israelites would not have a group, would not have had a group of people who served sacrificially as priests for the entire nation. You know, every single tribe was given inheritance except Levi. Deuteronomy 18. It's pretty clear. The Levitical priest, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's offering by fire and his portion. They shall have no inheritance among their countrymen. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. For the Lord your God has chosen him and his sons from all your tribes to stand and serve in the name of the Lord forever. Think also of the descendants of Levi. If Levi had not been born, we would not have Aaron, Moses. We would not have John the Baptist in the New Testament. Sovereignty of God. Look at Gad. If there was no baby war within Jacob's family, Leah would not have asked her maidservant, Zilpah, to lie with Jacob and thus giving birth to Gad. Many descendants of Gad have inspired us, and here are some wonderful examples. The descendants of Gad happened to be the ones who were not selfish. It was a great, the tribe was a great example of being unselfish. The tribe of Gad was one of the three tribes that was awarded lands east of the Jordan River. They could have refused to assist other tribes to cross the river to fight, but they did not. Numbers chapter 32, verse 18 says, we will not return to our homes until every Israelite has received his inheritance, said the tribe of Gad. They crossed the river of Jordan with other tribes and assisted them in following God's order to take the inheritance God provided. Very unselfish. They were also great support to King David. The Gadites, the descendants of Gad, a lot of them were David's warriors. The Gadites joined David, were mighty men. Men trained for war, who could handle shield and spear, and whose faces were like the faces of lions, and they were as swift as deer, gazelles on the mountains. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 8. Keep in mind, they were also great fighters who trusted God for His help. They totally defeated their enemies, according to 1 Chronicles 5:20, because the verse says, they fought their enemies, and for they cry out to God. They were able to overcome their enemies because they cry out to God in a battle, and God answered their prayers because they trusted in God, Jehovah. They were also other examples to show that they were wonderfully used by God. Another example can be found in the book of Judges. One of the judges named Jephthah, who we later learn in the book of Judges was a judge over Israel. He triumphed over rejection. His mother was a prostitute. His brothers drove him out to prevent him from getting an inheritance, and therefore he became homeless, and yet God used him mightily. Now, do you see how our sovereign God can accomplish a higher purpose in situations we see as problems? Yes, Jacob married a wrong lady. Yes, as we read chapter 30, verses 1 to 24, we realize Jacob's family became a mess. And there was, you know, baby war going on and so forth. It was just a dysfunctional family. And yet, God is still sovereign. Look at Issachar. If Jacob did not marry Leah, Issachar would not have been born. Did you know that some descendants of Issachar were Israelite wartime heroes? 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, they achieved. Were 200, and notice this part of the verse, and all their kinsmen were at their command. It was a blessing for the nation to be led by these sons of Issachar. They were the ones who understood the times. They knew how to respond to certain crises. They understood the time. Thank God for this great example. How about Zebulun? Zebulun was another son of Leah. Keep in mind that Zebulun's territory was located in what later became known as Galilee. Isaiah 9:1 says, but there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In early time, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Isaiah's prophecy is messianic. Galilee would be honored as first to hear God, to hear Jesus preaching. If Zebulun had never been born, the prophecy of Jesus' ministry in Galilee would not have been fulfilled. So, dear brothers and sisters, Jacob's marriage with Leah may have been a mistake from a human point of view, but from the perspective of God's sovereignty, it was never a mistake. If Leah did not marry Jacob, many blessings would not have become reality. As we look at the baby war in Jacob's family from the perspective of God's sovereignty, we must remember the encouraging truth in Romans 8:28. Let us once again look at this familiar verse. And we know that God causes all things, not some things, but all things, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who a call according to His purpose. May I point out to you two things about this verse. First, this is a conditional promise. God causes all things to work together for good to those who are CEO. You know what CEO stands for? Christmas, Easter only. They are Christians who are called CEO. It doesn't say God causes all things to work together for good to those who are Christian CEO. God causes all things to work together for those who attend church regularly? No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God causes all things work together to work together for good to those who love God. This is a conditional promise. It's given to those who love Him. Those who love Him are also described as those who are called by God according to His purpose. They would not be the ones who walk a different path. They are aligned with God's purpose and called by God. Remember, the focus is love God. How does God measure our love for Him? John 14:15 says, if you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Second thing I would like to point out from this verse is the timing of seeing how things work together for good to those who love Him. Now, this verse does not talk about the timing at all. To some, perhaps it does not take too long for them to see how God causes all things work together for good. But to others, perhaps it may take much longer, or perhaps they don't even see that all things. Perhaps they don't even see how God causes all things to work together for good at all during their lifetime on earth. Jacob is a good example. As I mentioned earlier, the Messiah would come to this world through the family line of Judah. Jacob was not able to see the purpose of God fulfilled when he was alive, but it did fulfill much later. So brothers and sisters, if you don't see any good comes out of your difficult situation now, it does not mean it will not never come. Trust in God that it will indeed come according to His timing, not our timing. I understand a few of you are going through a rough time. Perhaps you are like Jacob, and one of your family members has done you wrong. Perhaps at work, you are suffering from some bad consequence because someone has wronged you. If this is you, God does not want you to be bitter. Instead, He wants you to remember He is still in control. Believe what He has promised in this verse. Your job is to love Him by keeping all His commandments. Trust in Him that He is the one. He is still the one who causes all things, not just some things, but all things to work together for good. In closing, let me share with you a recent testimony I heard from the news about an elementary school teacher by the name of Nikki McCurtin. Nikki is a devout Christian teacher who loves the Lord, and she teaches at a school called Plaza Towers Elementary School in Oklahoma. On May the 20th, Plaza Towers Elementary School in Oklahoma was directly hit by a massive tornado. Basically, the entire school was flattened by the storm. Look at this picture. However, this teacher, this young teacher, Nikki, and her 26 students survived. This is not a coincidence. It's basically another life testimony of Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good. And here are the reasons to explain why. Number one, the verse Nikki asked God for. When the floor started to vibrate, Nikki asked God for a specific verse to get her through. Immediately, she thought of Psalms 91 verse 4. This is what the verse says. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Nikki was praying, reciting this verse really loudly, and at the moment when the tornado was above her and her students, Nikki felt a hand on her back like a soft pillow. Nikki knew she was going to be okay. Number two reason, the class lesson Nikki gave that morning before the tornado. When the school principal warned everyone by intercom to take shelter, Nikki and her 26 students were actually reading a Christian novel. They were on a chapter that talked about the Almighty singing in darkness. Nikki later commented that she did believe that this was an encouragement from God. It was not a coincidence. Third reason why this story is a life testimony of Romans 8:28. Reason number three, this was Nikki's first year teaching at Plaza Towers Elementary School. If Nikki had not started her teaching last fall, things would have been very different on May 20th. Nikki was in a place and time where God used her to save many students. Reason number four, the school protocol for a tornado drill is to move students to the school cafeteria. On May 20th, the school principal's initial instruction over the intercom at Plaza Towers Elementary School was something like this. Students, faculty members, a severe storm is approaching and students are to go to the cafeteria. But before all the students could get to the cafeteria, the tornado alarm sounded. After the tornado alarm went off, students scrambled into the hallways, but the hallways did not appear safe enough because some of them had windows. For some reason, Nikki directed her students to a bathroom. If you look at the aerial view of the school, basically the entire school facility was gone. But if you look at this picture, you realize this is the bathroom. Some of our members are hurting very deeply. The other day I was talking to a brother about this verse, and he's going through some severe trials right now. And we came to agreement that our job is to love God. We may not even see the rest of the puzzles for the rest of our life on earth. But one thing that is very sure. Yeah, the timing is not mentioned in Romans 8:28, but we know, even we don't have the privilege to see how God calls all things work together for good while we are alive. But one day we'll find out. If you're hurting this morning, if you're troubled by whatever difficult situation you're in right now, don't lose hope. Claim the promise in Romans 8:28. If you are in the middle of trials, don't lose hope in God at all. As for those of us who are not facing a difficult time right now, please also take this to heart. Next time when we hear an unpleasant report, medical report or other kinds of unpleasant report, don't forget to look at it from the perspective of God's sovereignty. I encourage you to learn this lesson well, and I'm learning as well. Just the last 8 days, my mother-in-law, the one we love dearly, she was admitted to emergency twice within the last 8 days. 2 days ago, we received a phone call from Taiwan, and my wife's older sister, she's number 3 in the family. She has been suffering from mental illness, but the last several years, she has been well because the medication helped. The medication really helped. But then we just found out this last weekend, she secretly stopped taking any medication for 6 months already. She used to be a devout Christian, attending church faithfully every week. Now, without our knowledge, she had stopped attending church for the last 6 months. As we conversed with her over the phone, we realized she became a little manic now. Do we worry? Absolutely. But both my wife and I, we learned to trust in this verse. And I encourage all of you to trust the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, from a human standpoint, Laban was the one to blame. But the more we look at the descendants of Jacob, the more we realize that you are faithful to your promise. You cause all things work together for our good. Hide your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a good reminder, when we have lost control, God takes control. I'm going to take our offering now. Let me go ahead and pray for our offering. Father, we come before you. We thank you that you're a God who is in control of all things. Lord, you give us even now an opportunity and the resources to return back to you out of the blessings you've given to us. We pray that you would take the offering, bless it, sanctify it, use it for your kingdom's purposes. We pray that you give our church wisdom to know how to use it and to be good steward over the resources you give to us. May every penny be used to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.